Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom, it's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm very pleased to say, joined by a woman that I have admired for a long time but have not been in touch with for frightfully too long. She is Janet Levy, an MBA and Master of Social Work, who is an activist as well as a terrific and very prolific freelance journalist, with her contributions to such outlets as American Thinker, Pajamas Media Front Page Magazine, Family Security Matters, Israel National News, and a blog that she runs at womenagainstsharia.com. It's great to have her with us. Janet, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Good to talk with you again.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
I'm interested in something that you have been mulling and trying to expose for a long time, as have I. And that is the role that the Muslim Brotherhood, arguably the foremost Sharia supremacist organization in the world today, the spawning agent of so many others that we worry about because of their violent activities. But you've been writing, including recently, about a problem that I think is in some ways much more serious, and that is their presence in America, the Muslim Brotherhood, and even in our government. Talk a bit about both, you know, how we got to this point and the extent of the problem today.
Well, I just want to first say that the level of infiltration and subversion is alarming to a staggering degree, and the lack of knowledge in some quarters, breathtaking.
So if you look at the history of the Muslim Brotherhood's relationship with the United States government, how far back does it go, Janet Levy?
Well, you know, I can even go back to 1953, when a few dozen Muslim brothers were attending an Islamic conference at Princeton University, and they were invited by President Eisenhower into the Oval Office. And that even included Saeed Ramadan, and there's a picture online that that people can still access. Saeed Ramadan, the son-in-law of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna. So we go back that far. And then, you know, of course, in the 60s, early 60s, we have the beginning, the first chapter of the Muslim Student Association, which is the Muslim Brotherhood presence in the United States. Today we have over 800 chapters in universities and even in high schools now. So I think it was John Guandola who said that by the 1970s, there were Muslim Brotherhood front groups in every state in the United States.
And to the extent that they've spawned these front groups, they have, as I understand it, and by the way, there's an enormous wealth of information about all of this, folks, if you'd like to check it out at securefreedom.org, the Center for Security Policy's website, books there, including The Secret Plan of the Muslim Brotherhood, known as the Explanatory Memorandum on the General Strategic Goal of the Group in North America, are available as downloadable PDFs for free. But Janet Levy, what these books and our research and your copious writing on the subject makes pretty clear is that we have failed to learn over the years from the insights that we could glean from, for example, that secret plan that fell into our hands in 2004. We continue to allow Muslim Brotherhood operatives at the Council on American Islamic Relations and so many others to not only inform our government, but in some cases influence its policies and indeed even serve inside it. What are the implications of that as you see it? How does a country contend with the threat organization like this and its ideology represent if they have such penetration?
Well, we're not doing a good job. As we can see from previous attempts at investigating some of this, they've been thwarted, shut down. I mean, I mentioned in my most recent article about Able Danger. You know, this was an intelligence unit that identified 60 terrorists inside the United States prior to 9/11. That's 20 months prior to 9/11. They identified the Brooklyn cell that was headed by Mohammed Atta and three terrorists involved in 9/11, and they were shut down. And the information wasn't even allowed to be given to the 9/11 Commission. So we had a we even had a former member of Congress from the 7th District of Pennsylvania who had 19 years of service on the Armed Services Committee fight for their right to talk to Congress. We had 12 countries warn us prior to 9/11. So, no, it has really gotten us in a lot more trouble. Look at the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism funding trial in our history. 40 boxes of evidence sequestered by the Department of Justice. I mean, we had members of Congress who wanted to look at that information. A few years ago, I know you were involved in this effort, we had five members of Congress called the National Security Five who tried to call the country's attention to the fact that we had infiltrators throughout our national security apparatus at high levels with high-level security clearances.
And they were excoriated for their troubles, notably and in particular, of course, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And very little was done indeed. Enormously frustrating. We're talking with Janet Levy, a freelance journalist who writes for, among other places, The American Thinker, PJ Media, and Front Page Magazine. And Janet, as you sort of take stock of this, we have the President of the United States announcing his intention to increase by at least some number the forces we have in Afghanistan. You mentioned John Guandolo, an extraordinary individual who has currently runs a program called Understanding the Threat. And he has, among others, warned that our eye is squarely off the ball if we're focused on what's happening in Afghanistan and perhaps simply perpetuating our activities there, which have proven pretty much in vain to this point, but ignoring what's happening in terms of this sort of Sharia supremacist program inside the United States. Do you share that concern? And if so, what should the average American citizen do to try to effect a course correction here?
Well, yeah, I definitely share their concern. I mean, we have what I've mentioned as far as the infiltration in every major organization in our country, not just the government, but we have infiltration in our schools and the military, our universities, corporations. We have extensive infiltration. But we have concerns here. We have terrorist groups right at home. I mentioned Jamaat al-Fukra that's not getting attention. I mean, the FBI had investigated them in the early 2000s, but this is a paramilitary group believed to have 2 to 3 dozen paramilitary compounds throughout the United States.
Organized by a fellow by the name of Sheikh Jilani, who claims that they're a state-of-the-art terrorist network. I couldn't agree with you more. That is a very troubling problem, and it is extraordinary.
And they're believed to have ties with al-Qaeda in Pakistan.
And be recruiting prison felons to their cause as they get out. There's so much more to talk about here, Janet Levy. We have to leave it at that for the moment, but I hope that you will come back to us soon, and thank you for the great work that you are doing through your own investigative reporting and the commentary that you provide at, again, places like PJ Media, Front Page Magazine, American Thinker, and Israel National News, as well as womenagainstsharia.com. Check it out, folks, and come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.